Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 92 of Slam Fire Radio for the week of January 23rd, 2015. I am your host, Trevor Furlott.
And I'm Owen Flewelling.
And I'm Matthew McClatchy.
Who are also hosts, by the way. Thanks for joining me, gentlemen.
You're welcome. I'm glad you invited us along, finally.
Well, if you guys don't say you're host, too, then and you leave me hanging like that, I look like that douchebag. Like, I'm the host, and with me tonight, no, it's not how
it is. Ken Kowalski.
Yeah, no, he's the overlord.
No, I just wanted to make sure we were referencing Brian as the douchebag is all.
We spent 30 seconds reviewing what we would do before we started, and we've done none of it.
And we've messed it up already.
Already.
It's basically Styx's fault, though, right?
It is. And I'd like to... All right, let's... Yeah, we have two very special guests who, unfortunately, one of them was unable to make it tonight, busy working. But we do have two of the team members from the Armed Scrolls Project, Styx and... Stacy, do you have a cool nickname, or should I just call you Stacy?
Stacy's fine.
Stacy's fine.
Boring. Right. You fine. Need a cool nickname. Oh,
we have names for it, but it's not family friendly.
Oh. That's awful. So, Styx and Stacy are, in one way or another, associated with the Armed Scrolls Project, Styx being a host, and Stacy, you kind of manage the internet side of things for the boys, is that correct?
Yeah, I run the webpage, and... That's pretty much it.
And the Facebook page? Or is that the same thing, do you mean?
And the Scrolls Targets, Scrolls Challenge.
Yeah.
Well, I was kind of lumping all three of those together, but yeah.
Oh, there you go.
So you like to downplay yourself is what you're trying to say here.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, don't mind me. Oh, shucks, guys. I'll be cool.
So if you haven't heard of the Armed Scrolls Project, or if you don't listen, you are clearly a communist, and you should unfriend us on Facebook right now. That's really all I have to say about that. So, huh. Styx, Stacy.
There's no way you're opinionated at all about
not
that, are you, Trevor?
Not at all.
No.
Styx and Stacy, welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks.
Well, why don't we jump right into what we did this week in guns, and ladies first. We'll let Stacy go first.
I was hoping you were going to say Owen.
listen. Listeners, Owen's going to talk even less than normal this week. You want to tell us why, Owen?
Not really. that would require talking.
unlike Bolivar, Owen is legitimately sick this week. He's got himself a case of the mono.
And it sucks, let me tell you, people. It sucks.
And you're a trooper, Owen, because as I said before we hit record, if I stub my toe
up a shallow hill and blow out your calf.
Or feel a nap coming on, I cancel. I pull out. You show up with mono. That's dedication.
Somebody's got to have dedication around here.
Yeah. Might as well be Owen.
Might as well.
All right. Sorry. Stacy, what'd you do this week in guns?
Well, I ordered my new pistol. I pick it up on Tuesday. It's a Glock 42.
Nice. That's that little 380 thing, right?
It is.
You're going to find quite a difference between that and your 23.
I realize that. My dad has one, so I was taking that out around Thanksgiving and playing with that. So,
how do you like it?
I really actually do like it.
Unfortunately, up here in Canada, it's too evil to cross the border. The barrel is too small on it, so we're not allowed to have them. So,
the 380 caliber is very lethal out of a short barrel, so the government says it's not for us. So you be careful with that gun, Stacy.
It's not Canadian approved, we're just saying.
You're wielding a lot of power there. I hope you, with great power comes great responsibility.
I'll be careful, I promise.
Good. What else?
I went ahead on Saturday and shot my Squirrel's Friends Rifleman Challenge.
And is that the snowman that came out looking like he was passed through a snowblower? Was that one yours, or was that...
I think so far they've all looked like they've been passed through snowblowers.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I mean, Owen, why did you say that about Styx's target?
I'm surprised that Mark Housekeeper hasn't come on to critique them. I really expected, Anyway, still waiting, Mark. Carry on, Stace.
That's about it.
Well, that's more than I did.
That's not really true.
How about you, Styx? What have you been up to in guns this week?
Well, this actually was a little better than normal week. Our Edith and I generally share Saturdays off, and this week I had Monday off, so both days we went to the range. So I've done quite a bit. First time, Saturday when I went to the range, I also shot the Squirrel's Friend Rifleman Challenge. And yes, Matthew, it looked horrible. But I corrected that on Monday, and I shot just two. I shot one with a smiley face, and I shot one with a frowny face.
I get the frowny face, right?
Exactly.
You give people frowny faces. Oh, look, Matthew's here.
Oh.
But, yeah, just a little bit of playing at the range. I changed a bunch of stuff around on my little rifle that you guys seem to hate so much, the Ruger 1022, but I changed quite a bit.
We don't hate it. We just understand there's better options.
Don't lump me in that, Wee. Don't lump me in there.
It's too late. You're lumped in, Trevor.
No.
Mine's got wood on it.
Ah, Trevor, now you hate it.
Way to ruin it.
Yeah.
Now, Styx, did I also see recently a photo of you shooting a muddy camo or girly camo, whatever, just right carbine?
Shooting one or owning one? Yes, I am the proud owner of a beautiful girl camo just right carbine in 45 ACP.
I saw a picture of that on Facebook. It looks cool.
That's not the Mad German's gun. That's your gun?
Yeah, I took possession of that, and even though she would love to call it hers, that one's definitely mine.
Okay.
And I connected with my manliness long ago, so that really doesn't bother me.
Well, dude, at least you're shooting in a manly caliber. A pistol caliber carbine in .45 is all kinds of good.
As manly as it gets, basically.
10mm.
Well.
No, that one's .45.
Yeah, no. So
Trevor's just saying 10mm would have been more manly is all. Yeah. He's just basically saying you're not manly enough to handle 10mm is what Trevor's saying. Is that what you're saying, Trevor?
I was implying it, but yeah.
If Trevor really knew that, he would know that I also have a Tanfoglio in .45 and a matching Tanfoglio in 10mm.
I know that. They're witnesses. Tanfoglio witnesses.
Exactly.
See, I listen to your show, unlike two of the other hosts I work with.
I did actually take the 10 out to the range on Saturday because I had just put together my second batch of reloads and went to try them out and ran a half a box through them, and they ran pretty well.
Nice. I had another question for you. Oh, did you see any of the Just Right carbines that came out in SHOT Show this week?
No.
Quite a few updates to the platform, including a takedown version, which now puts it way, way above the sub 2000. Even though Kel-Tec introduced an updated version of the sub 2000, in other words, they changed the shade of lipstick they're applying to the pig. But the Just Right carbine, they've got a takedown version. So here is, you know, you've got the collapsibility of the M4 style stock pistol carbine, short enough barrel. Pistol mags, it's small, it's light, compact as it is, and now in takedown, perfect for the bug out bag, backpack, whatever.
Well, that's really not new. It may be new as a package, but they were offering last year you could remove the front rail on it, the front quad rail on it.
Yeah.
And they had a piece that screwed on there and acted as your barrel nut and everything, and that made it a takedown version that you can order from the website. So mine, I can convert to that just the same.
Oh, interesting. Now this one appears to be part of, it's like a 1022. It just kind of snaps in half.
Wow.
With levers. I don't know if it is new or not. Then it's new to me. So glad you are aware of it.
I'm telling you that for a pistol caliber carbine, I've got a cheap little red dot on there. That thing is pretty darn accurate at 100 yards, and I could probably push it out further, a little further anyway, for being a 45. I can put a pretty decent sized group at 100 yards.
Would you actually take a deer with that out of a tree stand at, say, you know, 30, 40 yards?
Oh, certainly. At that distance, of course.
Oh, excellent. Nice. Cool. Okay, Toby, what did you do this week in guns? Toby? Well, it's really unfortunate Toby couldn't be here to have both of the hosts of Arm Scrolls Project with us, but unfortunately, like I said, the man was so busy this week, he couldn't do his own show, so chances are he wasn't going to make a Canadian show. That's all right. We're not offended at all. We
understand. No, not at all, because Canadians don't get offended. In fact, we're going to apologize to you for not coming on our show.
Toby, we're sorry you're not here.
Yeah.
Well, he did send me a message. He sent me a message making it clear that he is at least thinking like a Canadian or imbibing in some Canadian. He said that he had a bottle of Windsor keeping him warm while he's working on the truck he's working on.
Oh, working under an influence. That's not Canadian at all. Well, maybe next time, Toby. So, Sticks, real quick, before I forget, tell us a little bit about Arm Scrolls Project, how it came to be, and how the listeners can find you. Let's get that out of the way before we carry on with the rest of the train wreck.
All right. Well, Toby and I were co-hosts on another show. Decided that just to lighten things up, we had both left the other show, and both of our better halves kept saying, "You guys talk so much, why don't you just put it to recording?" And we decided to put together our own little show. We went a different direction. We decided to do firearms training, preparedness, and just our everyday life. Of course, if you listen to the show, you'll real quick figure out why we have Squirrel in the name. And just so you know, today is Squirrel Appreciation Day, and that is a fact.
That's why I had squirrel for supper.
Well, I posted that great picture of that squirrel that I was going to have for supper, but it wasn't my picture, so.
Oh, yeah, this picture of the one I had for supper.
Oh, there you go.
But we talk regularly about firearms, just what we've done personally and preparedness. We talk about gardening. We've actually had each and every one of you on at separate times discussing
wise
one thing
move.
Or another.
You don't want the three of us all at once. Look what happens.
Yeah, it's a train wreck every time.
And then Stacy was someone that I had met through Appleseed, which is another thing we talk about quite a bit on our show. And she's just very helpful in the background. And she kept bugging us about our webpage and we need to get this straightened out. And I said, okay, take care of it there. And next thing you know, I mean, like a day later, it was this. It had gone from, you know, one or two little blurbs on a web page to being an actual web page. And
that's why I don't complain about anything, because they just say, go ahead and fix it then.
I was just going to say, see what happens, Stacy? You talked yourself into a job.
That's all right. I actually really enjoy what I do.
Well, feel free to complain about our stuff once in a while. Just saying. Well, that's awesome,
that,
Sticks.
Everything, I mean, we don't really have a set show. We don't go by show notes. We really get on there and we just discuss what's been going on. We occasionally have a guest. You mentioned that Toby was out and missed his own show this week. He did. And I actually had another podcaster on for a guest, and we talked about preparing for an Appleseed.
Yeah, last night. Tony Brown.
Yep, Tony Brown.
The Firearms Cafe.
And the Armed Ape.
And the Armed Ape. Awesome. Yeah. When we started, we tried to do the chat cast thing, but it kind of spun into a... We're not terribly formal, but we're more formal than we initially started out as. So, but you guys are doing a great job, and as I said earlier, if you don't listen, you're a communist. So.
Well, you know, I'm very surprised we made it this far. It was, you know, it's called the Armed Squirrels Project. The name is pretty self-explanatory, but as project, it was really just something that we were going to test out, see if we were having fun doing it. And I don't think either one of us expected it to go past a handful of episodes, and we just recorded episode 45 last night, so we're getting there.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and it's become so much more than just a show. It's become a tool to promote Appleseed. It's become a tool to bring shooters in both countries together. Everybody takes part in the Armed Squirrels Project or the our Armed Squirrels Challenge. As a matter of fact, I think, and yes, I am bragging. Canadians have won more Armed Squirrels Challenges yet than anybody else.
Well, that's because a lot of our...
Are you about to make an excuse?
American participants on there are instructors, and we are not allowed to win.
Oh, I see. Yeah. What about the other 100 listeners that you have?
We got 100 listeners?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. Is it not 100? 200?
Maybe
200?
A dozen or so.
Well, everybody in this room is. So anyway, no, kudos to you guys. Adding that challenge really gets people together. They go to the page. They put up their targets. They share stories. They pick on each other. And later on in the show, when we get to kind of the main topic section, we're going to talk about the summit, if you will, that's coming up, or the Canadian invasion. And it's all as a result of the work that you guys do in the show. So you're so much more than just two guys hitting record, I got to tell you.
Well, yeah, I'm with Trevor on that one for sure.
And it's, if it wasn't fun, we wouldn't be doing it. It's fun every time I actually sit down to have a conversation with Toby. It's probably a good thing that every conversation we have isn't aired. We thought about that at one time. But we would have to have the trucker rating, but
yeah, exactly.
Such a blast. I mean, he's a brother. I mean, we talk about what we feel like talking about, and it makes
for good content.
Yeah, we don't go in a straight path ever, kind of like you guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, and Stacy.
Yes.
I will get you those targets. I promise.
Okay.
Yeah, once it stops being minus 20 degrees up here.
And 40 feet of snow.
Yeah.
She's still the first one.
I was just going to say, Matt's won one. I think I've only seen one target from Trevor.
Yeah, and then I was like, I could have did better with my open gun. So she's like, all right, then, Big Mouth, do it. I will. Oh, and I sold the open gun, so dope. But I will get caught up. If I had an indoor range, I'd be laughing, but. Anyway.
And Matt, I'm going to drag you under the bus because I've never really asked Trevor, did he ever get those bracelets?
Oh, no. I still have them. In fact, I can see them from where I'm sitting. But I haven't seen Trevor since I've gotten those bracelets. So that's a good excuse right there.
Bolivar dropped the shirt off with Matthew, and it stayed with Matthew for so long. When I got the shirt, it ended up actually arriving the same time Bolivar did.
Yes, Bolivar could have brought it himself, and Trevor would have gotten it sooner, in fact.
Yeah. No, we've been having a hard time to shoot together. Matthew and I used to shoot together every other, at least once a month on a fairly regular basis, and then sometimes more, but
it's been so busy.
Actually, the irony is I even live closer to him now. I almost live
you do.
A full hour closer.
In fact, I can get to your place in about just more than 10 minutes than what it takes me to get to Owen's, yet I go see Owen more.
Disgraceful.
Yeah, it's because Jewel actually is down in that area too, so that's actually the draw.
I was going to say it has nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with Owen at all. It's just Jewel happens to be there.
Well, Jewel, yeah, she could have that effect. Man, you and I are going to have to start our own business. That's what it is. And then we can have building parties at my house of whatever product we're selling.
Perfect. I'm in.
Great. Money, sweet. So, well, speaking of Owen, why don't we move forward here, Owen, before you die or whatever people wouldn't. Monocomas do. Well, you tell us what you did this week while you were, you know, swallowing antibiotic sized horse pills and stuff.
Ah, what did I did like, yeah, basically nothing. I ordered last week I ordered the little gauge piece for length for trimming my 308 brass.
Oh, yeah, the Lee one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Lee one, yeah. So, that's that. I need that little part so I can start processing 308 brass to start working up a load for my 308. And anyway, that showed up today, but that's it. I didn't do anything else.
How are you set for 308 brass?
I've got a fair bit. I've got probably close to 100 rounds in like a factory ammo I haven't shot yet that I just need to burn off. And I've got probably 50 or 60 pieces, maybe more of just... You know, of loose brass that I have shot and some that I collected at the range in different times. So
I had started to collect quite a bit of it and saw a mixed head stamp, and I was keeping it with the intention of if I got a semi-auto 308, I would have it on hand. But I started to process it and was going to sell it cleaned in my stainless steel tumbler, sized and trimmed and deburred and chamfered and completely processed and ready to go. But It's just some of it's done, but anyway, if you're good, but if you need like 50 extra pieces or whatever, let me know. I can certainly hook you up.
Well, it's one of those things you can never have too much.
Well, exactly. You know, I got so much.
The way I'm going to do this is I'm going to get a very highly precise load to start and get that narrowed down. And then once I have that, then I will probably start loading the same load, but I'll just load by volume. You know, they don't have to be as precise, but I just need a bunch of decently accurate ammo just for shooting. But then I'll always have that really highly precise stuff set aside. I'll know what that is and pull it out when I need to, you know, when I want to impress somebody.
I've got, you talk about having brass on hand. I've got so much 223 or 5.56 that I've actually looked into. A couple of friends of mine have 300 blackouts, and Luke Giroux's toying with the idea of building a 300 blackout. And I'm actually toying with the idea of making 300 blackout brass just to sell, because there's not a lot of it on the market, and guys are buying NEA 300 blackouts and building other 300 blackout rifles. And it's very easy to turn the 5.56 brass into 300 blackout.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can get a jig that you drop the 5.56 case in. You clamp it down to a miniature, like, 2-inch cutting saw. And not sure if cutting saw is the right name for it.
Welding saw, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like a little miter saw almost?
A chop saw, sorry. A 2-inch chop saw.
Okay.
And and then there's a die that you lube the, you chamfer and deburr it, lube it, and run it into this die, and it turns it into 300 blackout brass, much like converting 40 caliber brass into 357 SIG brass. Same idea.
Cool. So,
yeah. How about you, McClatchy?
I didn't do anything this week.
Literally, I noticed you had no notes there.
No notes. I don't, no. I didn't do anything gun related. It was terrible.
Okay. Well, I'll rip through mine then. We had a SummerSlam meeting on Monday night.
When he's done.
SummerSlam meeting on Monday night, which didn't end well, but it's all better now. And the first revision of the stages, was done. So when you're putting on a level 3 matches, your stages need to be approved by IPSC, World in order to receive your sanctioning. And then with sanctioning comes RO points for IROA people and presidential medals and all that stuff. So it's quite a formal process you go through to have your match sanctioned. And first, scrutiny is done at the club level. And then the president of IPSC Canada needs to look at your stages. And if he okays them, then you can send them up the chain to IPSC World. And, what came back was I was very pleased. There was nothing where he said, this stage has an RO trap. This stage has, too many rounds from one position. It was all really minor stuff. Like you didn't indicate which popper activated what swinger. So go back and tidy that up a little bit. RO notes are for the RO, not for the shooter. When you say stomping on the stomp pad activates swinger 3, that belongs in your stage procedure, not in your RO notes. Just really minor stuff. So I'm pretty happy with, you know, nobody looked at them before I sent them off either.
So the stages themselves are all like the way they're set up and stuff. They're good. It's just the actual procedure of writing them out is what he critiqued you on.
Just little things like that.
That's a good job then, because that is hard to put that many stages together without having some sort of screw up somewhere.
Yeah. And we were looking at them Monday night, and he had them, and I hadn't heard back from him yet. He looked at them on the airplane on the way to SHOT Show, and you know, he had a long flight from Nova Scotia to Vegas, and he gave them a good going over and gave me, you know, feedback, but it was all minor stuff, just about wording and stuff and labeling the drawings accordingly. We found a nasty RO trap, though, in the maze. The way I've got the maze set up, it's literally like a maze. You're going, oh, that's a dead end, got to back up, stuff like that, right? And there's one spot where the shooter goes up, and the RO, as the shooter backs up and the RO waits for him, the RO ends up in front of the shooter's gun.
That's never a good thing.
Never a good time.
No.
It's not where you want to be. So I just moved one wall and whatever, right?
Yep.
So quick fix, but it was there. And better to find it there.
Yes.
Then the day of the match or the day of the pre-match or something, because you have leeway to change things based on safety, but it looks bad if you submit one thing and build something else. Looks really bad. And there are people out there that know the difference, and you don't maintain a good reputation when you do stuff like that. So you submit one thing, you get it approved, and that's what you build. And if you submit a match with 284 rounds, you don't start throwing targets up at willy-nilly so you can up the target count or the round count to 300. The other match director always really pushed for that 300 number, and I didn't. I designed my stages to be challenging, to be practical.
And then whatever the round count ended up being, that's what it was.
That's what it was.
Yep.
I started with the concept and designed the stage around that.
So what is the round count?
284.
Oh, that's not bad.
Nah, it's not bad.
Nah.
It's just 16 stages, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, so more loading of the 40 ammo. I tried something a little different. I had some small Magnum pistol primers that I got from Matt Lorette, and he said that he used to do that. It would increase the power factor just marginally, and he got a better burn with the Magnum primer than a regular primer. So he said he was getting about 20 to 30 feet per second more out of the chronograph with those. I had them on hand. I used them, whatever. And the spring bang is coming up, so I've been doing some dry fire practice with my Eagle because I'll be running that exclusively this year. And I had the scare of my lifetime on Monday morning. The SIG P320 that I had put aside for me at the Calgary Shooting Center, almost accidentally, due to a computer screw up, got sold. And for a couple of hours, for a day, it was pretty much sold. And then Jeff Reese, my buddy up there, to the rescue, it was put away for me. But it was taken out of inventory in the computer or something like that. And the guy who does the internet sales took it out of the safe and sold it. And then Jeff was able to explain to me or explain to the gentleman, no, that gun was put away for somebody. I don't know if it was sold or there was a computer issue anyway. Nobody got screwed in the end, and that's all that matters. And Jeff straightened it out. So thank God.
I think the interesting thing here is that was the scare of your life. I think you need to live a more interesting life.
You have no idea how bad I want this SIG.
I guess.
And it's kind of silly because a couple of weeks ago I was talking about I want to get a full-size 9mm pistol that's like a double-action, single-action, either a SIG or Beretta. And what did I do this week? I bought two more black polymer plastic striker fire pistols because, let's face it, that's really what I like. So why deviate? The SIG 3 P320, as I've said in the last 3 weeks, is black plastic polymer striker fired. It's SIG's first striker fire pistol. And the other gun I bought this week from another friend in Calgary, Rossinator, I know Owen loves that name, he sold me his Steyr M9. So the Steyr M9 is also an Austrian pistol, very similar. It's like just about any other polymer striker fire pistol, but this one has an incredibly low bore axis, really interesting shape, grip angle, not interesting sights on it. I shot it when I was out there in Calgary. I thought it was a really, really nice pistol, and Ross gave me a smoking deal on it. So I guess next I got to get a Walther PPQ.
Basically, yeah, you're just going to have to get one of every one.
One of every polymer striker fire pistol, yeah.
Well, that means you have to get the Sigma.
No, Matthew, I will not. ES sticks, I have actually. The same guy who I'm buying the Steyr from has a Walther. That's the one he prefers. He shoots that one the most. And we had a Walther at a Black Badge class at Owens Club last year, the year before.
Yes, I remember that.
It was a nice shooting pistol. It was accurate. I drilled a nice one jagged hole with it. The guy was having a hard time to get his hits, and he thought it was the gun, so. Of course, you know, had to prove it wasn't the gun.
There's not too many. There's not too many factory pistols that come out in that price range that have a good trigger set like that one does.
Well, and that's one thing the Steyr apparently is really known for is how nice the trigger is. And the and huge shout out to Chris Rakowski and Pat from Action Shooting Radio. They're at SHOT Show right now, and they went to the SIG booth, and they took a video of them playing with the SIG and did a little quick and dirty review and threw that video up. And I don't know if they did it just for me, but in my mind, they did. And I really appreciated it. So the Walther that you used of Chaz's at Mag 40, did it have the mag release on the trigger guard, or was it on the frame?
That's been a long time.
Oh, yeah.
That's 10 months ago, and I'm old.
Never, You never forget. You never forget, brother, shooting a gun with a mag release on the trigger guard, because you're like, what the? It's so obviously wrong and where it's not supposed to be.
No, I believe it was on the frame. Matter of fact, I know it was on the frame because the M1 is the one that came out originally with it on the trigger guard, if I remember right, and his is the M2 version.
Right. Well, that's what this kid had at the Black Badge. I'm not a fan. So when I get one, I won't have that. So anyway, and then finally, I printed off the petitions from the NFA for magazine capacity restriction and to get the AR-15 de-restricted, and I ran into my first FUD, and I was very taken back because it was a club member and a former military person, and was not happy that I was asking why he didn't want to sign it, and it didn't end well, but in the end, I learned a valuable lesson. Some people just don't want to sign, and it's maybe not the best place to. Maybe you should just leave them go and not question why they don't want to sign. But anyway, I got everybody else in the room to sign it, so that's good. And I get some time. I'm going to drop. I've got one dropped off at a barber shop that's run by a gun club member, and try and get one out to the local store. How's your petition going, Matthew? You get any more?
Not yet. I actually left it at Owen's, hoping that he'd be able to take it around to his gun club and get him to sign
a
bunch.
He should take Owen around.
Yeah, he really should, but...
Yeah, but I know it's Owen. What are you going to do?
I was... I kind of ran out of people up here. I don't know anybody else who speaks English, basically, in my area, so...
What book, Pro Nature? Oh, and I wondered about that. Is there a bilingual version of the petition? And I really should know that, given my new job.
Yes, you should.
I'm going to look into that, because if there's a bilingual version, I think that would actually go best in my...
Yes, yeah, well, it'd go good here, too. If there is, I'll print one off, and I'll take it to the local gun shop.
I will look into it.
Yeah, beauty. Do that for me, would you? Seeing as you're my director of the NFA here in New Brunswick, because I'm a resident here. I'm just saying, it's your job. I pay your salary.
Yes, I understand. My salary. Yeah, they doubled it twice. Two times nothing is still nothing.
You got it.
Ready for upcoming events?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to rub this into Tommy's nose in it here a little bit. The fifth annual charity shoot will be on the 27th. I can't say anything about Tommy, can I?
You can. It's just that they'll hear about it again next week.
All right. Tommy's coming back to teach y'all, and he flies in on the 28th.
That's the day after the charity shoot.
So
anybody who comes to the charity shoot and decides to stay a day later, you might be able to meet Tommy if I'm quick enough on the gas pedal when I go pick him up at the airport.
And yeah, if you have lots of time to stay and hang out, you could sign up for the Practical Arm Response Academy shooting course on July 3rd with a mini IDPA match on July 4th. So look into it. All proceeds for this year's charity shoot and last year's charity shoot go to the Dalhousie Nursing Home Foundation, a charity that is near and dear to the hearts of the members of the Rescuers Gun Club, because the chair, or I'm not sure if he's the chair, but he may very well may be the chair. Former club president Chris Kingston is responsible for he works with that charity. So, SummerSlam, August 8th and 9th. The hotel is ready to be booked. Registrations will be open very soon. Stand by for that. And the NFA AGM, that's going to take place in Quebec City on May 23rd and 24th. I will most definitely be there, and I'm quite sure McClatchy will be coming with me, or I'll be going with him, one or the other. But
I'm going to certainly try, because that would be super cool. It's not that far away. We should totally do that.
Team Ferlacci will be in effect.
There you go.
So what that means is he carries me back to the room when I'm too inebriated to get myself there.
Well, I wheel him. I can't carry him.
We have requested a wheelchair as soon as we check into a hotel.
Yeah. Can we have a wheelchair? Are you disabled? Well,
in a few hours,
I have an alcohol problem, so sort of.
Awesome. So cool. I think that's it for upcoming events.
I think so.
All right. News. I'm going to grab the first one, and then maybe Matthew... You can grab the second one. And
sure.
Sticks and Stacy, please feel free to jump in for the rest of the show to whatever strikes your fancy and you want to talk about. And this one, it happened in the U.S. So, and both, Stacy, you carry, right? You don't just own a Glock 23, you carry it. Is that correct?
I do carry it occasionally.
Yeah, don't worry, Sticks. I'm thinking the same thing. What do you mean, occasionally?
Well, just so you know, I Stacy and I chat quite regularly, and I've gotten to where I ride her like a rented mule about carrying her pistol with her when she leaves to go to the store, and she's gotten better. Or at least she says she has.
Now that
I have.
Well, now that you've let that slip, Stacy, expect to get it from me, too.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. too sweet. All right. So Walmart shopper sees a firearm holstered under a man's shirt and then does the unthinkable. When 62-year-old Clarence Daniels walked into a Florida Walmart on Tuesday, he couldn't have suspected that he would barely make it past the door. Walmart video surveillance shows Daniel going into the store, but before he can get much further than the entrance, someone comes up from behind and throws him to the ground. Remember, he's 62 years old, right? Believing he's defiantly apprehending a bad guy, the man, who Fox 13 identified as Michael Foster, then restrains Daniels even more. And in the video, you see like two or three other guys coming over, and they're taking the gun off of him, and they're handing it down the line to the next guy and the next guy, and then somebody walks off with his gun. As Daniel is being held down, a few shoppers who had assumed that Foster is perhaps a hero in the making decides to help him out with the pending citizen's arrest. They also take away Daniel's holstered firearm that was under his shirt. Then Foster calls 911. In a turn of events that Foster probably didn't expect, the authorities arrive, and it's not Daniels they put in the back of the squad car. It's him. It turns out Daniels had a concealed carry permit. In addition, during the scuffle, witnesses said Daniels was yelling out that he had a license for the weapon. Foster is being charged with one count of battery. He's lucky the gun didn't discharge, because in situations like this, things could have gotten much worse. Yeah, he's lucky he didn't get shot. I mean, Daniels was being attacked. He had the right to defend himself and was licensed to carry the tool to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's about the dumbest thing you could do, is attack somebody who's carrying a concealed firearm. I mean,
in a holster. That's not
in a holster. That's what gets me. It was in a holster.
He's 62 years old.
Bad guys don't carry guns in holsters.
And 62-year-olds don't go into Walmart and shoot up the place.
No.
Jackass.
Well, you've never been to West Memphis, Arkansas, have you? Just saying.
Nope.
Still, Sticks, the 62-year-olds aren't the ones shooting up the Walmart.
It looked like somebody just wanted to be a hero. Somebody saw a gun and was scared and wanted to save the day and got a little too overzealous.
Or he's rabidly anti.
Right. What I got out of the video is, man, did he get his gun away from him quick.
Too quick. He needs to go to a Mag 80.
Yeah, you need some retention studies there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's nothing to pull a gun out of a Kydex holster. They have.
But if you're being attacked, I think the first thing you should do is get your hand on your gun just so you can retain
it.
Have you
seen the video?
No.
He blindsided him.
Yeah.
So if you're carrying a gun,
your head's got to be on a swivel.
Yeah,
I mean,
you got to be on a swivel, but you don't want to look like your head's on a swivel. You got to be in condition yellow, but you want to look like you're in condition white.
Right.
And so he was completely condition yellow or not. I mean, dude got blindsided.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, after a while, I mean, if you've been carrying a gun almost your whole life and you're just used to always having it on you, I mean, there's going to be times, we're human, there's going to be times where you're not going to have perfect situational awareness and, you know, somebody could get the best of you. So clearly that happened in this case. It's just, you know, just a reminder for everybody out there who does conceal carry, keep your situational awareness up and make sure you don't get blindsided by some guy who thinks you're going to shoot up Walmart when you're 62 years old.
And if you're concealed carrying, conceal it.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't concealed very well. There's some states, if you print, you can be charged, correct?
There's a lot of states that are that way. I don't think it's as enforced as much as it used to be, but I'm fairly certain that Texas is that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
so it's got to be concealed then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can open carry a long gun in Texas, but you can't open carry a handgun, and your concealed means deep concealed.
Yep.
This is also an argument against open carrying a pistol.
It is. Yeah, I mean, if, you know, that's one of the reasons why we prefer concealed carry over open carry, is because the bad guys don't know who's carrying. You don't want them to, know you've got a gun, because you're going to be the first one taken out.
Yeah, I don't see it as a deterrent. I see it as it's making you a target. The argument for open carry is that it makes it could serve as a deterrent. With a uniformed police officer, security guard, that's different. But a civilian who's open carrying, I think oftentimes, I mean, let me think like a criminal here for a second. I'm casing a joint. I'm about to rob the place. I see a guy open carrying. I'm going to get in a position where he can't see me, and I'm going to shoot him. And then I'm going to continue the robbery.
Right.
That's, if I'm a criminal, that's what I'm doing. So,
you know, something else that I took out of this video is this was a guy that at least thought, I'm doing the right thing. I'm protecting people and saving people's lives. He could have, just in the same situation, been the bad guy that was wanting to disarm him and use his handgun to do bad.
That's
yeah,
right.
He could have been, yeah. When we've heard of situations where people have gone to sell a gun and been robbed at gunpoint and lost the gun. This guy could have been, hey, here's an opportunity for me to steal a gun. He's 62 years old. I'm young. I'm strong. I'm just going to whack him around a little bit and steal his gun and go.
Well, I carry two different ways when I go out. A lot of times I'm carrying my XD and my concealment solutions inside the waistband holster.
Get your mamba on, yeah.
and other times, if you know, this time of year especially, when I can easily wear a long, you know, flannel shirt or a long coat over what I'm wearing, I actually carry a, and don't laugh, folks, there is a reason for it, is I carry a Phobos holster.
Okay, I'm not laughing.
I have a flashbang.
It has retention. I mean, if you do not know that you've got to push that button to draw it out, then you're going to have quite a struggle, and then you give me two or three seconds to realize that what you're doing, then somebody's going to be hurting.
Yep.
Sticks, I got a Phobos holster without a button. And it's a pain to get out. I don't like using it for any kind of shooting competition because, man, it doesn't come out of there easily at all. I kind of like unlock it a little bit before the buzzer goes when I'm on the line, because otherwise it's like take a full half second just to get it out of the holster.
You know, I ran through a Kathy Jackson course using that holster, and I did my first and only, I guess you would consider it a mini match at the Polite Society tactical conference last year. At the end of the conference or during the conference, everybody goes and shoots a little mini match, and I used it. And actually, for being a newbie in that type of competition, I guess you'd call it, I didn't do too bad. But it's just how you train. I mean, if you train to be able to, you know, disengage that retention, you're good to go, but that retention may be enough to save your life or save, you know, someone else's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sure. It's a good thing to consider if you are going to open carry.
Yeah, level
make
three.
Sure you've got some sort of active retention on your holster.
Yep.
Well, even for concealed carry, I worry about it going into a crowded place like Walmart, going into a mall. I generally carry at 3 o'clock, maybe 3:30, 4 o'clock. I'm very uncomfortable beyond the 3 o'clock position.
Because, I was going to say, what do you do up until then?
I'm very uncomfortable the further it gets around my back. You know, there's a lot of people that carry in the small of their back, but I don't have eyes in the back of my head, so I don't know who's up behind me. And, you know, I walk around in, you know, a high level of alertness without, you know, being paranoid looking, but, I try to stay very aware of my surroundings, but you can't be at all times. And that's where I feel that the retention's needed when you're concealed carrying.
Yep.
How about you, Stacy? When you carry, what do you, when you carry more often from now on, what will you be carrying in?
I actually, for my 23, have a Serpa. It's got the level 2 retention on it. I've also, for the 42 that's coming in, my darling husband bought me a flashbang holster for Christmas for it.
I was so hoping you were going to say flashbang.
He just wanted her to bottle it.
And I know this is a Sticks favorite thing, but I also do have a concealed carry purse that Sticks absolutely hates. So
yeah, so do I. You can't control it in the purse as well as on the body. That's all there is to it.
I get it, but sometimes it's not even practical to have it on the body.
That's well, depending on what you're wearing, go flashbang.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not, Trevor, you're not a woman. just so you know.
I'm not.
No,
you've been calling me a woman for 3 years.
I know.
He does have those moves, but
I know he's got the moves and he's got the looks and the curves and the, you know, kind of the, yeah, but no. I think purse carry is totally acceptable. You know, obviously on your body's better, but
purse carry is better than no carry. But
exactly,
it's the my least favorite because it requires a higher level of attention. I mean, look at it happened in Walmart. She turned her back. Kid got in the purse.
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, not only that. I mean, you're seeing at least here. You see the snatch and goes every day. You know, you're walking out to the parking lot, got your arms loaded down with groceries, and a car pulls up beside you and grabs the purse and go. And I don't care if it's got a cable that's built into the shoulder strap. Something's going to eventually give.
Yep. Yeah.
Not the car.
No. Probably not, no.
There we go. All righty. Matthew, how would you like to take the next one? And there's a go button moment at the end.
Yeah, there really is. And I share this go button with you, but I'll let you take it. This one did happen in Canada, northern Quebec. Store owner fires on bandits and then is arrested. A convenience store owner in Rouyn-Noranda is facing charges after he pulled out a gun and opened fire on two robbers Tuesday evening. 75-year-old Leo Bullet, I know that's not how you say it, but it was funnier that way. Leo Boulay wounded one of the men who remains in critical condition in hospital. Boulay is now charged with negligent use of a firearm and remains in jail because the Crown opposed his release on bail. The wounded man and his brother are facing armed robbery charges.
All right. I'm a moderator over on the NFA Facebook page, and the story's been on there all day, and I had to turn off the notifications and back away because a little bit of training is dangerous because then you know a few things and you really see how ignorant people are, and you were there once yourself, and there's just a pile of armchair quarterbacks running their mouths about this one. And my advice to everybody is before you start putting comments up on the internet about a shooting, educate yourself on our laws because you're saying stuff that you don't know what you're talking about. You've never read or Canada's self-defense laws, and get yourself acquainted with the facts of the case. It's yet to be determined. Well, at the time I left the conversation, it was yet to be determined whether or not he shot these guys when they were fleeing. And if he shot them when they were fleeing, I'm sorry, that's not self-defense, and that's never going to fly in this country. I know when it's legal to shoot a fleeing felon, you know, in Canada, we wouldn't call him a felon because we don't have felonies. But there's such a narrow window when it's legal to shoot a fleeing individual bad guy that it's almost impossible. And if you ever shoot somebody that's running away, you've got to be able to prove that anyone else in your position, any reasonable person in your position, knowing what you know or knew at that time, would have done the same thing.
And so do we know yet if he did shoot them while they were fleeing?
I personally do not know that yet. Because, right.
So that is, that, like you said, that's one of the points that you do need to know before you can comment on this.
Yeah, so the people are calling him a hero. And, I mean, people also commenting on these shooting cases, they need to get some training. Because they're coming out and they're, oh, I would have did this and I would have did that. And all you would have did was get yourself killed or thrown in jail. People are calling this guy a hero, and we're not even sure of the facts of the case. I think that's irresponsible. He was robbed 8 times, and that certainly is not acceptable. It's no bloody wonder he armed himself. Unfortunately, he armed himself with a unregistered, prohibited revolver, so he didn't do himself any favors there. He set himself up for failure in the courts is what he did. But he only did it because he was robbed 8 times at gunpoint, and a man has a breaking point. And what's to say, number 9, they weren't going to off him, right?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to agree with what he did. It's another thing to call him a hero for what he did.
Yeah.
I can understand with what he did. Maybe I won't agree with what he did, but I can understand why he did what he did. And, you know, good on him for standing up for himself, but there may have been a better way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, but let's face it, if we lived in a country that recognized our, you know, our right to self-defense with the proper tools, he probably wouldn't have been robbed 8 times.
No.
They probably, the first time they showed up and pulled out a gun, he pulled out his own gun,
come back. And I bet you he won't get robbed again, even if he doesn't end up in jail.
He's going to end up in jail, so he doesn't have to worry about it, unfortunately. But the next guy will probably get robbed again. But, you know, if he had drawn a gun the first time, then they're like, oh, well, this ain't a gun-free zone. There are no victims up in here. let's go down the street to the 7-Eleven or something, you know?
Yeah.
So he's kind of, in a lot of ways, he's a victim of our criminal justice system.
He really is. He's a victim of the fact that we can't carry guns to defend ourselves. And yeah. And so he went ahead and decided, well, the law is not protecting me, so I'm going to take the law into my own hands and protect myself, which, while I can't advocate that because it's illegal, I understand completely why he did it, because he probably had no other choice. He did have no other choice.
Now let me ask you this. I hear you guys regularly talk about the rules that you have to obey in order for all the safe storage laws and everything. But as a business owner, does he have anything additional that you don't have as a regular citizen?
Very few do. There are some jewelry stores that, as I understand it and have heard stories about, do have firearms locked on their premises. There's a lot of hoops to jump through.
There was a case last week, Matthew, where an armed jewelry guard, jewelry store in Toronto, employed an armed guard, and that armed guard shot a robber.
And he got charged.
Did they finally charge him?
I don't know if they finally... No, they were talking about charging him, though. That's right.
They still, at the time, they still hadn't decided whether or not he was going to get charged, because they simply said, yeah, he's an armed jewelry guard, but he's not a cop. He doesn't get to shoot people. Yeah. Well, then why give him a license to have a gun to defend himself? And he's not there to defend the jewelry. He's there to defend the lives of the employees in the store.
Yeah.
You can't shoot people over diamonds, but you can shoot people over threats to their life.
Except that the news article on that one, and I know we're squirreling off here, but, you know, Sticks will be used to it anyway. The article on that one said that he was issued the gun to protect high-dollar items. And I'm like, well, that... Either the law has changed and I didn't know that, or that journalist totally got that story messed up.
That journalist has given his false opinion.
I can tell you, even here in the States, there's very few of the states that allow you to protect possessions.
Right. There are some states that do, though, and you can protect possessions with lethal force in some states.
Oh, most certainly. If someone's on crosses your property line in Mississippi, as far as I know, it is legal to shoot them because they could potentially cause you harm.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether they're walking towards you or walking away.
Well, it certainly does, you know, amp up your daily walks and you make sure you don't cross somebody's lawn accidentally.
Well, I actually like the law because I've seen you know, where it actually probably would deter some situations.
Yep. I can see in some cases where that would help keep somebody out of jail who didn't need to go to jail, where otherwise they might have had to go to jail.
Yeah.
Right. Now, on the other hand, and I'm going to make this quick because I know we got to keep moving on, but something you talked about, a story y'all just talked about on your past show, you talked about a guy that shot someone in his yard. Not the Ian Thompson case. It was another case, and I can't remember the exact specifics of it, but it reminded me of a case that happened when I was in Michigan. There was a guy, I used to coach baseball and football. There was a coach that was a young coach for younger kids. I knew him, didn't hang out with him. I knew who he was, type of thing. Nice guy. A local thug, also someone that I knew, but did, you know, again, not a friend.
Not a nice guy, though.
and a couple of his buddies came to rob him. And later I found out that they came to rob him of the fact that he was growing some marijuana plants in his backyard. He came out in the yard, told the guys, hey, go away, you know, this, that, and the other. Supposedly they threatened him. He shot one of them. They all left. There were three guys. The two of them dropped the one guy off, the older guy off, dropped him off in his front yard where he later died. Had they taken him to the hospital, he would have lived. And this guy, the homeowner, ended up doing a couple years for that. Huh. These guys got nothing, which they could have saved his life. They actually dropped him off in his front yard. They went and got weapons, went back and shot this guy's house up.
Wow. And the guy who did the homeowner got charged, and those thugs didn't. That's crazy.
He did a couple of years.
Well, one final point, Matthew, about protecting property. We have two listeners who carry guns for a living because they work for an armored car company, and they will tell you, and they have told me, the guns are not there to protect the money.
That's right. They're not.
The guns are there to protect themselves if somebody tries to kill them for the money.
Yep.
So, yeah. Okay. If we got nothing else on that, then let's jump into our main topic, which is...
basically, we covered at the beginning of the show.
Pretty much just an informal chat with our friends from the Squirrels Project. So, yeah, you're right. I did ask Sticks.
His name is Sticks. It's okay. Yeah.
Well, he's got another one, too, but I usually only stick with the Sticks name.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I see what I did there. So, yeah. So Sticks told us about how the Arm Squirrel Project came to be. Stacy, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit on your role and how the Squirrels Challenge got started and where you see it going in the future.
Okay. My role with the...
No pressure. You're going to do fine.
Yeah, shut up.
There's only 30,000 people going to hear this week.
I wish.
Say.
Maybe you know, 30.
Like six said earlier, we became friends. We were talking about Appleseed, and silly me, I offered to help.
You were just a listener of the show? Just a group
actually,
like
it was
the rest
before
of us?
The show.
Oh, before the show.
It was before the show. I think it was October of 2013, actually. And it was before the Arm Squirrels Project, and we became friends, and once it started, I was asking if there's anything I could do to help, and oh boy, did that ever get me in trouble. He made me the admin for the...
regrets.
I do not. He made me the admin for the Rifleman Challenge, so I've kind of run with that. Every month we get a new target. And we post it up, and people post up their results, and it's a lot of fun.
So talk us through some of these targets here for some of the listeners who may not know. Like, what kind of targets do you put up? What kind of regulations or stipulations do you attach to the targets in the competitions?
Okay, well, let's use this month for example. It's a rifle target, 25 yards, 12 shots, right, Sticks?
Yep.
Okay. It's a snowman, and basically what we're asking everybody to do is to draw the face and the buttons on the snowman with the rifle shots.
With bullets.
Can I do it with a shotgun?
Oh.
No.
Oh. I was just going to be connect the dots. I would just connect the ones that I thought were the eyes and the nose and the mouth.
Matthew, it might look like Stacy's target.
Listen, man, don't bite the hand that feeds.
Matthew, if you want to shoot it with your shotgun and you can make sure that only 12 of those holes show up.
Challenge accepted.
But basically, every target that we do is supposed to teach something, whether you realize you're learning it or not. The zombie targets we did in October were more for target identification. This is just more for accuracy and finding your NPOA.
You're what
tell
now?
What that means.
Natural point of aim.
Ah. And so are you allowed to shoot like off a bench or how do you have to shoot these?
It's actually stated on the targets most of the time. Some of them are in certain positions. Like we did one that was in standing only.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it's sling support only. You can be in seated or prone, but there's no resting the mag. There's no putting on a bench. There's no using a pole to hold up the barrel.
So you're trying to force people to learn and improve their rifleman skills, not their bench rest shooting skills.
Pretty much.
Yes, Bolivar.
I agree with that. That's good. Yeah, I want to talk about Appleseed for a little bit because I know it's something that's near and dear to the heart of Sticks. But that's a lost art is rifleman-ship. Rifleman-ship? Is that a word? Marksmanship. There we go. I knew there was a word for it. I just didn't want to discriminate against everybody who wasn't named Mark.
Well, to be clear, Stacy is as involved and as passionate about the Appleseed program as I am. We're just in two different states. She hangs up there in Michigan and does a ton of stuff for the program. And actually, I've recently become state coordinator down here in Arkansas, and she still helps me down here. So
nice.
She's a great friend in that way. And believe me, that's not the only reason that she's my friend, but she has been a big help.
But it helps that she does stuff for you. We get it.
No, yeah, well, we get it. Yeah.
And I did dog her snowman target this month, but actually, in all reality, she's beat me more times than I've beat her.
Aw, thank you.
More true.
I can't believe you just admitted that.
And I'll send you that recording there, Sticks, and you can just send me that $50 after. Or wait, no, Stacy got to send me that, right. That's cool. That's good. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about Appleseed and what that whole idea behind that program is.
Go for it, boss.
Wow. Project Appleseed is designed for two reasons. We, the original designer of the program designed it to open people back up to simple and basic rifle marksmanship skills. It was no longer your grandfather and father teaching you the skills. You may get to the range and just shoot a rifle and just do it like kind of like I grew up. I learned some from my grandfather and my dad, but a lot of it was just basic. I'd just go out and shoot it. Nah, not too bad. But it was designed to teach good basic marksmanship skills that are applicable to beginners all the way up to expert levels. I've literally seen highly trained military personnel come to our shoots and walk away shaking their head saying, wow, I just learned something in your government. You know, your government didn't teach me that for thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it was funny. I'm just going to break in here real quick because I do that. You sent me when I won the one challenge there a couple months ago. You sent me not only the really cool T-shirt and other prizes and stuff, but you sent me a couple of pages of some information that you guys teach. It looks like through the Appleseed program, and I was reading through some of that, and I figured, okay, this is just going to be some of the basic stuff that you know. Obviously, I will have known all of this my entire life. No, there was like a good half of that information. I was, wow, I hadn't even thought about that before. Or that's an interesting way of thinking about that. Or wow, I should really try that out. Like, there's a lot of really good information there. I'm really hoping I get to an Appleseed event sometime this summer.
Well, it's too bad. Sorry, go ahead, Sticks.
No, we'd love to have you come down. And actually, on the forum, there is a not very visited header on one of the forum pages called Maple Seed. So there was an attempt at one time at least to start up Canada's version of it.
That would have been cool. Maple Seed, I love that. That's a great name, too.
Yeah, I mean, like our Civil War happened in a bar and it lasted 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So
we got to know how to.
One. Pretty boring. What's that, Sticks?
I said in the floor one.
Yeah.
It usually does.
No, and we teach you to shoot effectively out to 400 yards or meters, and we'll even go metric on this one.
If you want to keep it simple, sure, why not?
We like to teach shooting with the old military GI slings.
Right.
I was going to say, I watched a couple of videos of old marksmanship videos for training World War II soldiers with the Garand. When I started building my Garand, I watched every video on YouTube I could find about the Garand, like documentary style. And they showed some techniques. I'm like, wait a second, that looks like the way they do it with the Appleseed. So it looks like you guys have borrowed some of that original marksmanship training right out of military training.
Oh, certainly. We've borrowed a lot from the old military training. You know, our military has gotten away from some of those basic skills. You know, now they have faster, lighter rifles that can be more accurate, but without the good basic trigger skills, the good knowing how to use your sling properly as part of your firearm versus a way to sling it over your shoulder and walk through the woods. I know Matthew is very versed with that. When he goes hunting or missing.
Dude, that gun never leaves my shoulder.
Nobody can walk a gun like Matthew.
That's right.
Well, let's jump into the upcoming Marksmanship Summit, the Canadian Invasion. Either Stacy or Sticks, doesn't matter. Stacy's the only person I know that talks less than Owen. How did this all start? Is it just a regular Appleseed and it's in Michigan, so it's kind of close, so a bunch of Canadians decided they were going? Because it seems to be taking on a life of its own, T-shirts and everything. How did that start?
Okay, that one's all me. And all right. It's all my fault.
Yeah, good.
No, back when I was asked to come on Modern Rifleman Radio, I made a deal with Brian that I would do it. And the deal was that I would go on the show, but he would make it to an Appleseed this year.
Fair trade. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, an hour of your time for, you know, 6 hours of him driving across the country. Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
She made a deal with Bolivar. That's like making a deal with the devil.
It took the words right out of my mouth, Sticks.
I was waiting, Owen. I thought you were going to get it out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Sorry. You tried to talk. Good job.
Yeah,
go put your glands on ice or something.
Pay for effort.
Carry on, Stacey.
And basically what happened was I threw a bunch of dates at him, and he was like, okay, I can do
Did
this
one. Did he date them all? Did his wife know?
Oh, stop it.
I'm sorry.
And we figured out the date, and all of a sudden he was bringing friends. And I'm like, okay.
So you actually chose a date for this event around Brian's schedule?
I did.
You're so accommodating.
I try.
Have you met Brian? He really wasn't worth all this effort, trust me.
I was just going to say, she's way nicer than we are.
Way nicer. God, love her. And then he started to recruit Canadians to come with him?
Yeah, we got a couple of friends, and it was like, okay. And he's like, that's all right. We can... you know, house them and everything, we're good. And I'm like, nope, we're good. I've got room for this many people. And now we're up to like 11.
Wow.
Not just Canadians, but like Styx is coming up, hopefully.
So what's the date on this? Maybe I'll go to this one too.
Well, that would be great.
You're more than welcome. It's March 21st and 22nd.
Ooh.
But do you want me to tell you who I truly feel sorry for in all of this?
Brian.
Because I can't go.
Trevor.
Stacy's husband, Ken. Poor guy. He does not know what he's getting into. And I think he even volunteered to cook breakfast one day.
Ooh.
He did.
Stacy, you better wrangle these cats, herd them up quick, because after he experiences, you know, your house full of all of the Canadians and what it's like, he may revoke your passport and not let you come to the charity shoot.
No, we'll be good.
All right, then. Nope, we're good. All right, so we know who wears the pants in that house.
I wasn't going to say it, but Trevor clearly was.
Clearly. Hey,
and there's at least one Canadian that's coming that's bigger than me, and I'm pretty sure he's got a bigger appetite than me, and I'm not going to name any names,
I thought Trevor wasn't going.
Oh, it's got to be Jay. Is Jay going?
Yep.
Jay is coming.
Oh, God help you all. Look, just because the man's favorite expression is "I am the liquor," doesn't mean anything bad's gonna happen. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Get your affairs in order, people.
Ride our wheels now.
Yeah, he's planning to come to the charity shoot early, and I'm gonna do air quotes here so he can help. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. So yeah, awesome.
Now, how far are you guys away from Michigan? I know that's quite a haul for all of you.
It's quite a ways. 14, probably 15 hours for me.
More than that.
Well, that's only a couple more hours than it is for me, man. You have no excuse.
Are you driving?
I am.
Oh, well, if you're driving, then I'll go with you. I'll drive down to your place first.
And then double back. Yeah,
and then double back. That makes sense.
So let's take a second, then we'll wrap this up by talking about our upcoming charity shoot. Both of you are coming, correct?
Yeah.
I'm planning on it.
You're planning. Stacy already has her hotel book. Come on, Sticks. What are you doing? You even get your passport
I'm staying
yet?
In your backyard.
Did you get your passport yet?
Not yet. I have looked into it. I've got plenty of time. I promise you that is in the works.
Sure, sure.
We are actually, because of the time of year, that's usually when we're doing a vacation, we're both looking into doing this as a two-week trip. So we drive up, we see some sites, visit a few friends, maybe do a detour through Michigan so I can see my wonderful grandbabies, swing the long way around, make it up there, do the charity shoot, and then have several other days to play on the way home. So we're planning on doing a little touring of your country. So, yeah, we are. It is in our plans.
Excellent. Now,
well, it's a pretty small country. You can pretty much see it in a day.
You're going to be. Yeah. You're going to. So you could potentially be here for the Tommy class.
Potentially.
Interesting.
You know, the bad thing is, and the reason we were kind of working this out is neither one of us like to fly. For two reasons. We don't like to fly, and we don't like to miss everything that you see, miss, you know, from this point to that point. And we just like, you know, seeing everything. That's
flying
one reason.
I don't mind. It's the crashing I'm not a fan of.
And the reason we've looked at doing it in 2 weeks is in order for us to make it there on a Saturday and Sunday, there's no way feasible for us to drive and do it. There's no way, you know, it's next to impossible for us to. It works out much better with us driving. So that is our plan as of right now.
That's
and
cool.
Even if I didn't get my passport, the mad German has already said she's coming without me, so I better get it.
You better hurry up then.
If she comes alone, I'll find a room for her in the house. If she comes with you, she's stuck with you in a tent. my backyard's going to look like
dirty
a trailer
dog.
Park. It's going to look like an RV park, I'm telling you. Not an RV. It's going to look like a campground. There's going to be tents everywhere.
It's going to look like an Occupy Trevor.
Yeah, that's it.
Didn't Donnelly say he was going to pull his big motorhome in and he was going to sleep in a tent, let me stay in it?
I think I heard that, yep.
Yeah, no, that's something he would say.
He would do that. Right. He is that kind of guy. He would totally drive down in an RV and let you stay in it, and he would go take the tent. He really would. That's true. I'm not even exaggerating.
No, you're right. He is a real stand-up guy.
Totally exaggerating.
So have we? Do we have Steve Lee committed yet?
He's not committed yet. No.
That was my next question. Where are we with Steve?
We are not yet committed with Steve.
We got to find something for him to kill.
There you go. Yeah, we find something for him to hunt, and he'll be in.
So what about state resident clone trooper? I hear that he's whined out of it.
He's what?
I thought he had. Oh no! I guess that was the Canadian invasion that he whined his way out of.
Right. Yeah. Well, that is a long ways for us to go to Michigan.
It's a long ways for me. I'm leaving on a Friday afternoon and driving up there, going to instruct for 2 days straight and then drive home probably on a Sunday evening to get back so I can work sometime first of the week.
Yeah, but awesome. When you go from your place to Michigan, your dollar is still worth a dollar. We've got that challenge as well.
Our dollar here isn't worth anything.
Yeah, well. I'll bring my silver collection with me and spend that.
Hey, sell it all to Toby.
You bring your silver collection with you. We can work something out.
All right. I think it's time to move on to listener feedback or something.
All right. Let's do that. Because I'm going to go on my silver rant, but I was going to save it for when Toby comes on.
Yeah, that's probably a good call.
All right. Take the first one.
All right. From Thomas D. Hi. We were just talking about you, Thomas.
Never heard of her.
Hi, guys. This is in response to Sharp97's email about storing his non-restricted firearms at his father's house. I hate to say it, but Trevor is right.
Now, why is that exactly?
We all hate to say that, Thomas. Regardless.
We just hate to say Trevor, but we really hate to say Trevor's right.
Knock, knock, Owen.
Don't answer the door. It's Trevor.
I don't.
All right. Regardless how the firearms are stored at his father's residence, he is still in possession of the firearms and must have a valid firearms license, regardless whether or not he has immediate access to those firearms. So did somebody want to jump in there and disagree?
Nope.
Okay. I thought I heard somebody going. Okay.
I said I told you.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm not sure I 100% agree with that. I'd want to get clarification on it because... What is access? I mean,
well, here,
my friend comes and stays at my house, doesn't have a PAL. Does he have access to my firearms?
No, but you live there. It's your residence.
Yeah.
You can't leave your guns at your friend's house.
Oh, but what if he comes and house sits?
Well, what about my wife? She doesn't have a PAL.
There you go.
Right. Doesn't matter. There has to be one resident with a license, and then you have to prevent unauthorized access from the people in your home to you have to prevent unauthorized access from unlicensed individuals in your home. But you have to store the guns at the residence of the PAL owner. You ever notice when you call to transfer a restricted firearm these days, they ask you for your address and then they say, and is that where it will be stored?
I guess I don't buy and sell that much.
I recognize that question, Trevor. Anyway, Thomas continues on. He says, this is how the CFO explained it. Sorry, the CFC explained it to me about 10 years ago. That's the Canadian Firearms Center. Let's say the police execute a search warrant of his father's home and find some stolen property in a safe that he may or may not have no access to. Even though he may not be the thief, the dwelling is still his property and his responsibility. The police will still charge him with the possession of that stolen property. The same applies to the firearm stored at that residence. Somebody at that residence must be licensed for the class of firearms that are stored there. Let me put it to you another way, then. Restricted firearms may be stored at another location other than your residence. You can get a temporary storage permit for another location only if the resident of that dwelling is licensed for that class of firearm. The firearms will now be registered to that resident's address, and you will not be allowed to transport the firearms to and from the range under your ATT. But if the resident of that address also has a long-term ATT, they can transport the restricted firearms to and from that range. Either way, I would verify by calling both the Canadian Firearms Center and the Chief Firearms Officer in his province, because they often have conflicting interpretations of C-68, which is sad all on its own.
Yeah.
My two examples that I have encountered are as follows. My Ruger 2245 has an internal trigger lock. The way I read C-68, the internal locking device complies with the Act. When I called the Canadian Firearms Center, they also confirmed that the internal trigger lock complies.
Let me jump in.
Yeah.
First year we had our booth at Promotion Plus, the local trade convention show. The CFC had a table set up across from us, and I asked the worker there if the lock that was built into my 686 worked, and he said, nope, the law says trigger lock. Internal locks don't count. We have to see a trigger lock on it. But this is the same guy who showed me the what's the number system they have with the guns? Every gun in Canada has a
Dewey
FRT.
Decimal system.
So he brought up the FRT table on his laptop and was showing me the FRT. He brought up sub 2000. And so he says, okay, sub 2000, 9mm, pistol carbine, 40 caliber, listed here as non-restricted. I said, yeah, that's fine, but you know the picture you have there is of the restricted version? Well, I don't know what to tell you. If I saw this gun at a residence, I'd deem it non-restricted. Thank you very much. He had the picture of the American version that didn't have the extended barrel past the sight. I explained it to him, didn't want to hear it. He just wanted to go by his FRT number. Yeah. As a firearms owner can't know more than him, right?
Of course not. Anyway.
Discrepancy, right?
Yeah, there's always going to be discrepancies there. The chief firearms officer for that province of Ontario said that the lock does not comply and that they will charge anybody who transports a restricted firearm without an external trigger lock. And they are telling the retailers this also. So yeah, there's always going to be discrepancies between the two organizations, and that's why we need to get rid of the CFOs. His second example here, he says, my old Ruger 1022 had a Butler Creek folding stock. It came with a plug installed that, if removed, allowed you to fold the stock. After measuring the gun's length folded, I determined that it met the minimum length to be non-restricted. But just to make sure, I took the rifle to the chief firearms office in Toronto. I personally spoke to our CFO at the time, Mr. P. Mullen, and he said that I was not allowed to fold my stock. So I called the Canadian Firearms Center about it, and they told me that Mr. Mullen was incorrect. The Canadian Firearms Center even sent me a written letter confirming that I could fold the stock and the rifle would remain non-restricted. So I took that letter in to and my non-folded rifle back to Mr. Mullen's office. I advised him that he was incorrect and showed him my letter from the CFC. His response was as follows, and I am quoting him here. I do not give a bleep about what the CFC says. If you fold that stock, your rifle will become restricted, and since your license does not have a restricted status, I will confiscate it and then charge you, and then I will own your rifle.
Nice.
Mr. Mullen was fired a few months later for illegally selling firearms that were turned in for destruction. So that ended well. Unfortunately, no charges were laid, and he was just quietly pensioned off from what Thomas heard, so... Anyway, that's from Thomas. He actually signs off just saying Thomas. So
awesome.
Yeah, no, I understand the frustration there, because you get bureaucrats who are not elected into office, they're appointed, and now they're in charge of interpreting laws, or they take it upon themselves to interpret laws. They interpret them incorrectly, but then there's nobody there to correct them, and they won't take correction from anyone because they're the big king of the hill, and they're going to do whatever they want. And
absolutely.
It just drives me nuts.
So you see, Sticks, this is one of those examples where, you know, sure, I can order I ordered a handgun yesterday, and it'll be shipped tomorrow, and it'll come straight to my house. I could order a long gun tonight, and it'll be shipped straight to my house. Doesn't matter. We don't have FFLs. We don't have to go dealer-to-dealer transfers and then go pick it up or any of that stuff. We don't have to get background checks because they're done automatically. But see some of the other headaches we've got to deal with. I can't store my guns at your house unless you have a license. I mean, Some of it is awesome, and some of it is just
terrible.
Well, since you're going to go bragging, I'm sitting in my little tiny office here, and this is just a junk room slash office slash reloading room. And as I spin in a circle, I see 1, 2, 3, 4 firearms and quite a bit of ammo, and none of it has jumped up and bothered anybody.
It's crazy. How do you, like, you got to lock those things up or else they'll just jump up and kill baby kittens.
Well, let's see, Sticks. I've got a Glock 17 within reach. I've got a STI 5.0 40 caliber double stack within, well, in my hand. And I've got a VZ 58 in my hand right now. And none of it's locked and all of it's within reach. And, yeah, you were saying?
Well, where's your ammo?
It's nearby. As long as it's not, as long as it's not in the gun, it's fine.
But you can't leave your house like that, Trevor. He can.
That's right. Yeah. Hoping we were going to move on.
No.
Nope. Next argument was, well, which one are you carrying when you leave?
None.
None. Yeah. But this is my castle.
There you go.
I'll leave it at that. Owen, since your throat is feeling better, how about you take the next one from Danny?
What's that?
What? Hello?
Hey, who is this?
Hello?
All right, I'll take Danny's. You can take the one from Dirt McGirt. All right, Danny says, hello, Slam Fire crew. Congrats on the NFA position, Trevor. While listening to episode 91 and hearing about the pastor's friend who responded to an alarm company notification of something wrong at his house and hearing the advice of waiting for police to respond as opposed to entering his house, which resulted in a shooting, I'm reminded of a story of a friend told me in Newfoundland. He was out of town and received a similar notification. He responded by saying that no one is home and they're going to contact the police. The alarm company told him that they will not do that, and drum roll, call someone he knows to check on his house. He called his dad and discovered that his dad had went over to get something from the garage and didn't realize that there was an alarm in there as well. In the end, it was a false alarm, but what a crappy policy. When seconds count, help is verification and then minutes away. Great show, and keep up the good work, Danny. Now, Matthew,
yeah.
You remember last week when we talked about this,
yeah.
You said that police won't respond to alarms going off.
Right.
Officer Frank was here and he had the conversation about the show.
Yeah.
And now, granted, he can't speak for the cops in the States, but he said here, a break and enter in progress call is as high a priority as a gun call or somebody's murdering me. It is as high a priority as you can have, and they always respond.
Good. Now, is that a 911 call saying my house is being burglarized, or is that an alarm just going off in somebody's house?
Well, if the alarm company calls and says there's an alarm going off.
Well, no, hopefully not the alarm company in Newfoundland they're not going to call the police.
The solution to the pastor's brother-in-law's problem would have been to stand outside and say, my alarm's going off, someone's breaking into my house. And then they would have had to have...
Well, in Canada, they would have had to. The police would have gone. In Oklahoma, where this took place, they may not have that same policy. I don't know.
Yeah. He claims they do, but I think it's kind of difficult for him to speak on their behalf.
Yeah, I would say this is definitely a case where you need to know your local laws and your local response that the police is going to give you in
before you sign up for an alarm. Yeah,
sure. Because if you're in Newfoundland, apparently, if you get an alarm, the alarm company doesn't call the police and they go get your dad to go do it instead. So,
this is Newfoundland where the constables they didn't carry guns until the 90s.
Last year, I think it wasn't it.
No, I think it started in the 90s. But yeah,
I was being facetious.
Yeah, it was pretty much yeah. So. All right, Owen, you feeling up to reading Dirty's email?
Well, I will do what I can. Dirt says, yo, what up with Sir Lipsalot? Going to Roomba classes. His carpets be that dirty? Don't he know that Roombas clean the carpets by themselves? What you thinking, dog?
That's amazing. I didn't think that was in good. Years you would pull that off. That was the best Dirt McGirt read email in the history of Canadian podcasting. And so, you did yeah. it with Mono. I don't know what you're on, but I want some. That's awesome.
So he's got a PS there. He's got a PS. You got to read the PS.
Sorry.
PS. Props to Treva for building the grand. Ping, ping, mother bleeper.
This guy writes everybody. He even writes into Modern Rifleman Radio. Sticks, have you guys had the pleasure yet?
Yeah, we've gotten one or two from him, I believe.
Man. We're sorry. No.
I'm not taking it. What do you mean we're sorry? We didn't create this animal.
Well, he's from Canada. I'm apologizing on behalf of a Canadian as a Canadian.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
You
I'm sorry that you didn't understand what I meant.
It's okay. I'm sorry that I wasn't more clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about it. He didn't start off with us, though, in podcasts. He started off on CGN, didn't he?
Yes, I believe so.
I still say I know who it is. Anyway, all right, Mick Sniff. How about Ross Snyder?
Mick Sniff. Well, all right then.
I wasn't gonna finish it.
Good call from Ross Snyder. Some comments and questions. He has three comments here. Comment the first. Notice how the Canadian Firearms Center has propaganda while you wait on hold. They should go back to elevator music. Less stomach churning. I haven't called them recently. I didn't realize they had propaganda now. All right, comment two. Answers like, it's Monday, the first day back of work after the weekend, in response to why my transfer isn't completed. Shocker. Oh my goodness, it's Monday, just for them. Everyone else in the world, Mondays are easy peasy. This isn't my first rodeo, neither is it yours, so step off the excuses and step up to the plate.
Not really, so they don't have to work because it's the first day back after the weekend?
So did he call up and ask about a transfer, and they're like, oh, why are you asking us? It's Monday.
Yep.
Wow. That is crazy. Comment three, good to have T back. I assume he means Trevor.
Yeah. Mr. T?
Mr. T. Any the fool who don't show up to podcast.
Oh, man. Stacy, you see what I have to put up with?
It's funny.
Thanks. It's funny.
All right. Question number one. Any news on Cyclone's quest for a just resolution in the face of a bureaucratic shell game?
We haven't heard from him in a long time.
No update from Cyclone recently. So, Cyclone, I'm pretty sure you're listening. Why don't you send us in an email or something, or get a hold of us. Maybe we'll have you back on the show. And if you've had any sort of luck or change in that situation, we'd love to hear about it. Question two. The targets that these squirrels are putting out for a contest. 25 meters unsupported rifle, handgun. Can you spell out the rules, please? Going nuts over this. I see what you did there. Going nuts? That's hilarious. If you'll just back up the podcast about 40 minutes, you'll be able to hear all about it.
And where Stacy says the instructions are printed on every target.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So question three. Any news from the...
Trevor, that would require reading and writing. And well, judging by his name, he obviously can't do that. So.
Oh, God. Listen, Rossinator makes more money before noon than we make in a week.
Oh, I am sure, and I don't begrudge him that. Because, you know...
I do. Wait,
what? So I got in this car, right? And it's a beautiful Audi. And
Audi.
It's a standard... Whatever. Tavor, Tavor. Anyway, I get in his German handmade car, and he's like, oh, yeah, I had to buy this thing because they don't make anything in standard anymore. I had to buy this Audi, so I could get a car that has a standard transmission. I'm going, should I tell him I just bought a Chevrolet Sonic that has a standard transmission?
No, probably
no
not.
I don't think I will. I think I'll just enjoy my ride in this fine German automobile.
Question three, he continues, any news from the NFA or the CSSA on the Swiss rifle status? There is a lawsuit in progress, but unsure of its status. He may have meant lawsuit, but he did spell lawsuit.
Don't be a dink. Correct.
It's too late. It's been done. And somebody else commented on commas earlier. Trevor.
I edited Thomas's. I didn't throw him under the bus.
No, but the other guys you did.
Kind of just did by saying I edited it.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what the update is on the Swiss rifle status. So somebody from the NFA, Trevor, you're a member of that, aren't you? Don't you know what's going on there?
It's on the agenda to be discussed at the AGM. More to come. Stand by.
Just hold on a couple of months. We'll have an answer for you.
Totally made that up.
Yeah. So he said there were comments and questions, but now he continues on. There are some observations, apparently. So observation number one, get training even if you think you know everything. You don't.
Amen, brother.
I agree. Two, prod your MP, that's Member of Parliament. An election is coming and they want money, yours. Time, yours. And votes, yours. A wise man once said, nothing in life is free. If they want free, then free me from C-68. Ooh. So that's just a reminder to let the MPs know that if they want help from us, they better feed us, and quick.
If you're getting something free, chances are somebody else, me, is paying for it.
That's right. And the third observation, he says, remember, aunties are ignorant, everyone else is uninformed. So we got to remember that just because someone's uninformed, we don't jump on them. We got to be nice to those people and bring them over nicely to our side. The aunties, we're not going to change their minds. But the people who are uninformed, we do need to educate them gently.
Some people don't want to be informed. I was told that on Monday.
Yeah, and that would be an ante, or a FUD, if you will.
FUD, yeah.
Yeah, but
didn't take well to being called one either, I gotta tell you. Anyway, Owen, you don't even know the story. I'll fill you in later.
It's still funny. No.
Yeah.
All right, so Ross finishes off, consider this. We all work towards liberating ourselves from firearms laws made to induce failure. We do so for free because it's right. Wendy Clucker, intentional, he says there, and her ilk do it for the money. How many of you make $400,000 a year? Yeah, me too. Who funds that organization? Would she still be shilling at Tim Horton's wages? Does anyone have a list of companies that support them? A letter-writing campaign and taking business elsewhere may go a long way. If it's the government money, see observation number two. Merry podcasting to you and your rodent-related guests this week, and please keep up the good work, Ross in Calgary.
Awesome, and thanks for the smoking deal on the Steyr. It really was. I'll keep the price between him and I, but if the police show up my door and charge me with theft, I will not be surprised.
Is it new or used?
It's used, but it came.
But it was still. I know what the price is, and it was a smoking deal.
5 mags, a holster, and mag pouches.
For $20! It was crazy! Oh, wait, crazy. What? We weren't supposed... That was a bit more than 20.
Yeah. So, Owen, you up for the next one?
Let me see here.
It's from Rob.
Ooh, it's a long one. Sure, I'll try it.
All right.
Hi there, SFR. New listener, found your podcast via Matthew from an old Rimfire radio cast while trying to track down something better than a 1022.
Hear that, Sticks?
Just
hear that?
Not everything's better than a 1022.
No, anyway. This thing is something better than a 1022.
Oh, I think I have a Marilyn upstairs that would beg to differ.
Uh-huh.
I do much enjoy your show, especially the Canadian accent that brings me back to my youth. I was born in Edmonton, now living in the best state in the Union for Firearms, Arizona. And then he references a link for us to be jealous about.
Would you agree with that, Sticks? Arizona, best state in the Union?
It's pretty darn close, and if you listen to the show that came out last night or early this morning, Tony Brown, my guest, is from Arizona, and we kind of briefly discussed the laws. Yeah, it is one of the top handful of great states that we have. I have an app that tells you state to state. It compares the states by the highest one being 5 bullets, the lowest bit one being no bullets, and I think Arizona's got 5 bullets on there.
Do you know what Vermont has?
Because that would be a pretty good state, too, from what I understand.
They still have some restrictions.
Really? I thought Vermont was live free or die, and I mean, it was...
That's New Hampshire.
Oh, that's New Hampshire. Oh,
sorry. New Hampshire was the one I was going to bring up next.
You are right. Vermont has 5 bullets.
Okay. Awesome.
Because Vermont is a constitutional carry state.
Yes, it is one of the first constitutional carries. Yeah. I had a friend. Actually, that's not true. I heard a story from a friend about who has a friend who was driving across the states, and he was going through Vermont. And so
this story.
He was calling up different states along on its route to make sure that as he transported his firearms, he stayed within state laws. And so he called up Vermont and got whatever office he got and said, okay, well, I'm bringing some firearms through Vermont. And they're like, and? Well, I just want to make sure that I have, you know, they're all, you know, legal and stuff. And? Well, I just want, can I bring them? We don't care. if you don't shoot anybody with them, bring guns. What? It was basically their reply. We don't care if you have guns. Bring guns. We like guns.
Call me back when you have a question.
Yeah.
Guns are not the question. Awesome.
So, Rob goes on to say, I'm currently looking for my first hunting rifle and figured I would seek your assistance with a few questions. Since coyote hunting is open year-round and you're good to go with general hunting license, that is where I would like to start. I would like to have a good varmint fur-bearing rifle that could serve as a once-in-a-blue-moon deer rifle as well. Currently, I have an AR-15 and 223 that I could use, but I would need a low mid-range optic, sub-$250, in order to get a clean, effective shot against coyote. I can deer hunt in Arizona with any centerfire cartridge, but feel the 223 may not be the most humane against a deer-sized animal. Do you think a 223 is too small for deer? Keep in mind, we don't grow deer as big in the high desert. I would think, from what I know of deer down there, that 223 would be plenty.
I would agree with that. I think 223 would be just fine for deer. It's not the best caliber. I mean, bigger is better, and Trevor will attest to that. But I've seen many deer kill with 223 up here, and our deer are bigger than yours down there. 223 is just fine. It's more about shot placement than it is about power and caliber size.
Regardless of caliber, it's always shot placement. There's no substitute for shot placement. If you're talking varmint calibers, and you don't need a semi-auto, I would look at the 22-250. You got the same projectile as the 223, but with a lot more speed, so you're getting a lot more wallop out of that little bullet.
You're getting close to 4,000 feet per second out of some of those.
I feel a lot better shooting groundhogs and then deer with a 22-250 than I would with a 223. I mean, 223 is used to wound men. It's not meant to kill men, because if you wound them, it takes two guys to get them off the battlefield.
Way to propagate myths, Trevor. Good job. Carry on.
Well, it's
a myth.
22-250 is a much flatter shooting round, a little bit better. You can reach out there a little further.
Yep, that's absolutely true. Yep, 22-250 would be a good one. Another one to consider is 243. That's another good caliber.
I think he brings that up, doesn't he?
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Doesn't he, Owen?
We'll carry on.
Later on.
If y'all will let him get to that point.
Sorry.
Continue.
We're sorry.
I could scrounge enough money for an entry-level rifle, something like a Ruger American or the Savage Axis. I would prefer a classic-looking rifle with wood furniture over the synthetic, but price is a factor. I can get the Savage with a Weaver scope for $350 and the Ruger American for $370 without an optic. What caliber would you suggest for primarily coyote with an occasional deer? My research has led me to the 243. Your thoughts on that caliber? Any pro and cons of the 243 versus something else would be appreciated. I'd love to hear about your hunting stories, so more of that. But I do cringe when I hear about your arcane firearm laws, so less of that. Thanks, Rob.
243 is a very popular deer gun.
And it would be a good one to go between the two animals very easily. I mean, you can easily take coyote with 243 as well.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be as flat shooting, like Stick said, as the 22-250, so that's still going to be my recommendation.
Yep.
Especially if you want to whack some.
Well, here's the thing. You do have an AR-15, and an AR-15 would be, if I could legally hunt with my AR-15, I would use it for coyote hunting, and I would use it for deer hunting, and heck, I would use it for bear hunting, too. It's perfectly fine. It'll do the job. So if you want to just use the rifle that you already know and just put an optic on it, that might be an option to consider as well. But if you are in the mood for a new gun,
That's really what he's going for. This is an excuse to buy another gun.
Get the Savage Axis with the scope, get it in 22-250, and if you want wood, wait a little while, save up some more cash, and go to the Boyd's website.
Well, they got them for like $100, don't they?
Yep. Yeah. And get yourself a Boyd stock for it, and you'll have. And no one can poo-poo the Savage Axis accuracy out of the box. The only downside to the Savage Axis out of the box, and actually now Savage Axis comes with an AccuTrigger, so you can't even complain about that. The stock is pretty flimsy.
That's it.
But if you can replace it for $100 with a Boyd stock, and you will be very happy.
Yeah, no, they are fantastic rifles for the price.
Yep.
Yeah, for the price. Just remember that. So.
And even for the price, I mean,
they're great. Oh yeah, I mean, they're worth $500 probably.
A lot of it has to do with the shooter, but we had a community shooting competition at our range where it was just bring your hunting rifle, we're putting targets up at 100 meters, and best 5-shot group wins. And there was all kinds of expensive rifles on that firing line, and the thing was won with the Savage Axis.
Nice. Was that Muffin?
Muffin's gun won it with somebody else shooting it. Muffin finished second, outshot with his own gun. So, all right, how about I get this last one from Mark?
Sure.
So Mark says, hi, guys. My son's 1911 frame will be here soon. As a matter of fact, it has since arrived. And I was wondering if I actually need to put a trigger lock on it. Now you're talking about archaic firearms laws. Here we go.
Yeah.
In the firearm safety course, it says the gun needs to be rendered inoperable by using a secure locking device. The frame is already inoperable, so you wouldn't think you would need a lock. If I don't need a lock, at what stage would I need one? Well, sadly, you do need one. When I get a slide, or even further, when I get a firing pin, I see you have the option of removing the bolt from a rifle instead of a lock. That's on a non-restricted, by the way, Mark. So why couldn't you do something similar with a handgun? Because handguns are restricted and need to be double locked. Oh, wait, I know. A handgun frame is inherently more dangerous than a rifle without a bolt. Maybe I'll get a lock to prevent the 1911 from taking advantage of my K100. Say, that steel slide would look real nice on me. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, that's what the K100 would say for sure. So, the question, Mark, about taking a bolt out of a rifle, that's a non-restricted rifle that would apply for, something that simply only needs a trigger lock. But remember, restricteds need to be either in a safe or trigger locked and locked in a gun case. So the case of your 1911, it is the frame is the part with the serial number, and in the eyes of the backwards archaic Canadian gun laws, if it was me, I'd put a lock on it.
Yep, put a lock on it or put it in your safe, one or the other.
Even though it's just a frame.
Yep. It's got to be locked up.
I got a toy plastic dart gun on this on a shelf in my man cave here, and I throw a trigger lock on it just for the ridiculousness of it.
Nice.
So, yeah, to be safe, I would just do it. The heck with it. I know it's beyond stupid, but and it has to be locked in a case as well, Mark.
Yep. So trigger lock it and put it in the case, or like I said, just throw it in your safe.
Yeah. If you've got a safe, yeah. So.
Yep.
All right, let's carry on, listeners. Just a reminder, we love getting feedback from you, so. You can email us at slamfireradio@gmail.com. So, yeah, send in something well-written, and I'll read it as though it wasn't. Do we have any iTunes?
We have two.
Oh, you got them up there ready to go?
I got them up, ready to go.
Run with it.
So, this first one, dated December 28th, is from Daronley. Daronley? Daronley. Anyway, he titles it The Best Gun Podcast That I Was Lucky Enough to Stumble Upon, and he gave us 5 stars. He writes, I am a seasoned podcast listener who enjoys a large variety of podcasts for more than half a decade. These guys have found the formula for success. Between news, listener feedback...
You're not supposed to read other people's feedback.
Oh, this was for the other guys. Yeah.
Gun dudes.
Hilarious. No, it really was for us. I'm staggered myself. He says, between news, listener feedback, advice, etc., this podcast is well worth your time. If you are even remotely interested, these gentlemen will be sure to entertain and inform you. So, did we send that $100 to Daronley to write that?
I thought it was 75.
Oh, it was only 75? Well, he did misspell one of the words, so we're just going to
let that go. For you to point that out.
Well, yeah, that's what I do.
The beauty of having a dyslexic read the emails, I can't tell when the words are misspelled. All right, another one?
We do have another one. Well, first of all, though, thank you so much to Daronley. That's the nicest feedback we've had on iTunes ever, I think.
He probably wrote it when I wasn't on the show, December 28th. Yeah, I think that was during my hiatus.
That's hilarious. All right, this other one comes to us from the Great White Northern Rooster. And this was January 16th, so actually just recently. He writes, he calls it, Where Did All the Rodents Go? Which is kind of funny, because they're all here. Well, all of them but Toby. If you are Canadian and don't listen to Slamfire Radio, then you might be a communist. And he finishes it off with Partridge with a 1911.
Oh my, what? My head hurts. No, he didn't finish it off with I'm Ron Burgundy, because that would have been the...
Yeah, that would have been the ultimate. That's all right. Maybe the next guy will.
No, the next guy shouldn't. All right. Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. So please take the time to leave us a 5-star rating and review. It helps get the show noticed on iTunes, which helps get us more listeners, make it funny, and you might even hear it on the show. Well, you hear it on the show anyway. Cause
probably,
let's face it,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And to all of you who have taken the trouble to leave us one, thanks a bunch.
Yep.
I have a list of shoutouts in here. Do you guys have shoutouts that you have but haven't put them in here?
I do, but I can't remember what they are, so I will try to remember them for next week and write them down this time.
Okay, or perhaps,
do you let the guests do a shout-out?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Definitely.
And guests go first, so take it away, Stacey.
I don't have any.
I know. Just an opportunity to make you talk. How about you, Styx?
I do have one. Just wanted to say that my wonderful... crazy German has a birthday this weekend, and shout out and wish 27? Her a happy birthday. And yeah, 26, I believe.
26.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
And
always guess lower, Trevor. Come on.
It would probably really do her very well if you said a boot, bullet, and what's the other word she
gross.
Loves so much? Grouse.
So it's a boot. It's a boot. Grouse this week.
Which bullet do you use when you're shooting grouse?
sorry, our accent sucks.
Yeah. All right, cool. And no shout-out for your co-host who was working like a slave and wasn't able to join us? That's cold, man.
That is cold.
Definitely got to give a shout-out to my brother, Toby, because he did not just ditch us tonight. He had not only had a little pressure on him from work to do it, but had the opportunity to make some extra cash and be able to do it at home. Hey, you can't beat that.
So he'll use that cash. He'll use that paper cash that really is not backed by anything to buy silver, which then when the economy collapses, he'll store. And when the economy comes back, then he'll trade that silver for more paper money that's not backed for anything.
You're starting to get it.
All right.
I have some videos for you to watch, Trevor, because I watched something about that just recently that you might find interesting.
Excellent. Cool.
I remember my shout out now.
Okay, go.
It's just, I don't know if you guys know this guy, Masad Ayoub.
Yep. I've met him a couple of...
Oh, you've met? Oh, yeah. I know. He's a cool guy.
I know him. Masad Ayoub?
Yeah, because he recorded a really cool Appleseed promo that we're going to play every now and then on these shows. So I just wanted to, say thanks to him for helping promote stuff that Styx and Stacey do. On a Canadian show.
So. Now, Matthew, did you actually hear the episode that where we interviewed him not too long ago?
Really? I haven't heard that one.
Really?
See, wait, now no, I think I did. No, I think I did hear that one.
And he did affirm the fact that Trevor did open carry in Utah.
Yes, I do remember that. I remember listening. Yes. Yes.
Yes, that's right. I remember that.
That is hilarious.
I only listened to it 16 times.
Yeah, probably.
And I get to see him in the next couple months because Edith is actually going to a Mag 40.
That's cool.
I'm going to put it out there. I am going to try and get him on. I don't know if he still takes my calls or not. Not that he ever has, but it sounds better that way.
Right.
But yeah,
your people are going to talk to his people, kind of.
Yeah.
So you're going to call. You're going to call Gail up basically and say, Gail, can you please talk Mass into coming onto our show?
And you feel like a douche doing it, right? Like, hi, Gail. Can you get Mass on our show?
Can Mass come out and play?
Yeah, not you though. Just Mass.
No, we can get Gail on too.
Yeah. No, she's too good for us.
She well, I mean, she's too good for Tommy, so Carl, so she's definitely too good for us.
And all full disclosure, that's exactly what I did.
Excellent.
We know it works. We have the formula.
Yeah. All right, I got a list here that I'm going to go through. So my first one is to the New Shooter Canada. So glad the boys are back and they're pumping out regular shows and or shows on a regular basis. And everyone is better than the last. So keep it up, boys.
I thought you were going to say, and everyone is better than they are.
No. To Paul at the Blight Society podcast, thanks so much for donning the Slamfire Radio shirt at SHOT Show. How cool was that?
That was very cool.
Action Shooting Radio at SHOT Show. Again, the boys are down there shooting full auto stuff and taking pictures and doing videos and maybe some interviews. So good job to those guys. Bob Fortier, thank you for joining the NFA, brother. We're proud of you. He sent me a note today on Facebook to let me know that he joined, so that was awesome. And to Kyle, the Cheek Riser, arrived today, buddy, so thank you very much for that. Now, one of these weeks when I'm not buying guns, I'll order a stock. That's all I got this week. Let's move into shutting this thing down. What do you guys say? Are we ready to turn the squirrels loose?
Yeah, I think so. I wanted to say thanks to both of you for coming out and chatting with us Canadians.
No, I wasn't
going to
thank them. I was just going to hang up on them.
Oh, you're just going to hang up on them. No, I was going to be Canadian and be polite and say sorry that that our show wasn't better.
Yeah.
We had to apologize for something, right?
Something.
Oh, hey, guys, it's actually been a pleasure having you on. And matter of fact, now that this has been brought up, I think I'm the only podcaster left on the face of the earth that y'all haven't had on.
You've had
ex co-host. You've had my present co-host. You've had people that I've never even heard of on.
Well, you know why? We were saving the best for last.
Okay, so this is the end of your show.
Yeah, we're done. We're just not getting any more hosts, or any more guests, basically. Except for Masad, which is actually better than you. So just saying. And Gail. And we're going to have Tommy on next week.
Well, besides that, though, you're...
Besides that, though, you're golden.
Well, there was that one time we had Doc West on. That was pretty cool, too.
That was cool, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we're not doing a very good job promoting Doc Weston's show to Canadians, because get this, the country outside of the United States that listens to him, the country that is most popular with the Gun Nation. I'm saying this totally wrong, but
you are. Carry on though. We understand what you're trying to say.
It's Australia.
Oh.
And guess who is third?
Canada.
France.
We're not even third.
Patriot frogs are listening to the Gun Nation more than Canada is.
Come on, Canadians. Go listen to Doc Wesson.
Really, man. The Gun Nation podcast, it rocks. They got Average Joe, Grant Cunningham, and now they've got the Blade. Carlson.
The Blade. Boris. Boris Yeltsin, the Blade. Boris the Blade Yeltsin.
No.
Who's that guy?
Paul Carlson. Paul the Blade Carlson.
There you go.
So, yeah. Anyway, all right, let's wrap this thing up. Be sure to check out all the great shows on the Crusader Podcast Network, of which the Armed Squirrels Project is also a member. That's CrusaderPodcast.com. First International. You're not on that podcast? You're not on that network?
No one wants to be affiliated with us.
Oh, come on. I'm sure Joe Shedwood would let you guys on there. I can't believe that I faux pod like that. I thought
good,
you guys
good job, Trev. Way to screw it up.
Way to throw us under the bus.
Way to make them feel bad, Trevor.
We all have a role to play.
Yes, we know yours.
I'm Captain Obvious, right?
See, you are that guy.
You're Captain Awkward is what
guy.
You are.
Captain Awkward, that's what she said. Anyway, join the CSSA and the NFA and check us out on GOC and like us on Facebook. And
you'll notice that this was not a time-restricted episode, so you can look forward to more episodes in the future being at whatever length we choose them to be.
Yep, they could be 45 minutes, they could be an hour and 45 minutes.
We're sorry for that, but I'm not sorry because I edit them.
But as Brian would say, it is what it is. And as Paul Carlson would say, it's outstanding. Is that his one?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But anyway, every podcaster apparently has something that he says to not let any dead air happen in between thoughts. Mine is awesome.
Oh, mine's also awesome. It used to be awesome, and I got called out for saying awesome too much, so I tried to stop, but it doesn't work.
Chaz had Bolivar's number cold, man. He was like, Bolivar, you always say it is what it is. And there was another one that he said. So he started a drinking game. Every time Bolivar says, it is what it is, you take a drink. And every time Ken Kowalski says, you take a drink. And poor Kowalski's like, yeah, I saw that coming. Jerk. I'm doing a bad job of wrapping up this show. So I'm just going to end it by saying, Ron Burgundy wants you to protect your knives.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
See you next week.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's
time to get a gun. So I'm looking for Owen, and I don't see Owen on.
You better hurry up. The show started 2 minutes ago.
Well, he may not be on.
What?
He has mono. Oh.
Oh.
I got a message from him. Hey, let's see. Okay, I'll add him. We'll see. Hey, Owen. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
You got the kissing disease, Owen?
Holy man, it's awful.
So I was going to record the show tonight in stereo, Owen, but I heard mono is better.
I hate you.
Is it true that Woodstock is getting a new central transit system, kind of like a monorail?
Oh, guys, it hurts to laugh.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, Toby just said he's probably not going to be able to make it.
Damn.
Oh, I was hoping to go mono a mono with him. Poor Owen.
Oh, man.
Are you going to stick it out, or what's your plan?
I don't know yet. I mean, I don't know if you can hear it, but I can barely talk.
Your volume is okay.
See, nobody's going to notice the difference. You never talk anyway.
I was going to say, you're usually pretty quiet.
And you do have a monotone voice.
Yeah, you're welcome, Matthew.